Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we have lots of time to discuss the latest findings in the field of health and nutrition. You can call us, 888-302-3684 is our number. We may have a little less in the way of call volume because, well, we're blacked out on our flagship station, WOR in New York City, due to the Mets spring training. That'll happen for a couple of weeks until the regular season when we're pretty much clear sailing. Call us at 888-302-3684 with your question about health or nutrition. Or, hey, if you can't call, or you don't want to call, maybe you're a little shy about delivering your question before an audience of thousands of people across the country, you can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we'll read your question on the air during our weekly podcast Q&A with Layla, and we'll answer it to the best of our ability. Radioprogram@AOL.com gets you through to us, and we'll use your question as grist for the mill for our weekly discussion of audience questions, radioprogram@AOL.com. All right, lots to talk about this hour, so let's get going. Splenda. Splenda is one of the artificial sweeteners that's out there. And, you know, I had a little disagreement with the late Dr. Robert Atkins. He and I were contemporaries. I was getting started. That was in Dr. Atkins' heyday at the Atkins Center. And I remember, meeting Dr. Atkins and talking to him. And I said, well, you know, diet seems to be getting results, and I'm all for it. However, I do take issue with your inclusion of Splenda in the diet, because he would urge a low-carb diet. But then he said, you know, that's one artificial sweetener that we think is less bad. He, of course, was already aware of the potential hazards of saccharin, which caused bladder cancer in experimental animals, and he wasn't a fan of NutraSweet because it had neuroexcitatory effects on the brain. We've since learned other bad things about these artificial sweeteners, that they ultimately don't make people lose weight. Why is that? Well, maybe they just stoke your appetite for sweets, get you to get a sweet craving, perpetuate your desire for sweetness, and then ultimately you find the calories elsewhere. So I had a feeling that Splenda would also make the list of hazardous sweeteners. 20 or so years later, I seem to be vindicated, because it ain't looking good for Splenda. The latest study, research was conducted in Italy, revealed the active ingredient in Splenda called sucralose, previously thought to be a harmless ingredient, significantly increased the risk of leukemia. The latest study involved 457 male mice, 396 female mice. They were fed different amounts of sucralose. It turned out that the artificial sweetener significantly increased the risk of leukemia and other cancers in these mice. So researchers split mice into five different groups according to concentrations of sucralose. The mice were fed the artificial sweetener through their lifespan. And they say that these findings do not support previous data that suggests that sucralose is harmless. They say that since millions of people are likely exposed, follow-up studies are urgent. They published their study in the International Journal of Occupational Environmental Health. Now, look, it's mice, and mice are not people, and we've cured many diseases in mice, but it doesn't carry over to humans. But the research is highly suggestive of the potential for Splenda to cause harm. This is the first time that Splenda's come under the spotlight. Splenda's safety was downgraded from safe to caution in 2013 by CSPI, the Center for Science and the Public Interest, after the artificial sweetener was linked to cancer for the first time. The latest findings prompted the Food Safety and Nutrition Watchdog Group to issue another safety downgrade from caution to avoid. CSPI President Michael Jacobson said in a recent interview, "We recommend that consumers avoid sucralose or Splenda. And we also recommend that consumers avoid saccharin, aspartame, and acesulfame potassium." So all these artificial sweeteners are under the gun. And, you know, we know about the hazards of sugar, high fructose corn syrup. Artificial sweeteners, they're not cutting it. And, yeah, we can use a little stevia. But ultimately, the risk of the artificial sweeteners outweigh their potential benefits, which seem to be very little when it comes to weight loss or avoidance of diabetes. You thought, wow, this is great. What a boon to mankind. You can have you sort of like Marie Antoinette, eat your cake and have it. You can eat your sweets and maintain your weight and maintain your health. But unfortunately, it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature, because Mother Nature has often a way of biting back. All right, this item has to do with curcumin. Curcumin is a potent extract of turmeric, ordinary kitchen spice used in making curry. And we've talked a lot about curcumin's anti-inflammatory effects. It's being researched now extensively as a preventive of Alzheimer's disease. It's been shown to be effective against osteoarthritis, inflammatory pain. It may be helpful for preventing especially gastrointestinal cancers. And I use it in my patients with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, because it's a wonderful anti-inflammatory. If you take it by mouth, it's going to travel down your GI tract, and it works really well to quell inflammation. So here's a really well-done research project on the influence of curcumin on the adverse effects of chemotherapy and radiation. Okay? It's certainly been shown to have anti-cancer effects, but can it be used to ameliorate the effects of chemotherapy and radiation? Research was done in a journal called Phytotherapy Research. Patients were enrolled if they were undergoing either chemo or radiation treatment, and then they were assessed in terms of their well-being, how they felt, what side effects they had from the chemo or the radiation. So they used one tablet, 500 milligrams, of a type of curcumin called Mareva, which is the brand that I use. You can buy it at drhoffman.com. Check it out. It's a brand that many physicians prefer to use. So they looked at the effect of either curcumin, one tablet three times daily, that's 500 milligrams, versus a placebo. And at the end of the study, the percentage of those undergoing chemo and consuming Mareva who reported nausea and vomiting, diarrhea or constipation, malnutrition or weight loss, memory or cognitive problems, infections, low white blood cell counts, heart damage, because certain chemo drugs damage the heart, was significantly less as compared to the control group. After 2 months of taking one Mareva three times daily while undergoing chemo, patients reported significantly less nausea and vomiting, diarrhea or constipation, fatigue, malnutrition or weight loss, memory or cognitive problems, as compared to those in the placebo group. And they also did a measurement of what's called free radical status. And those consuming Mareva had significantly less plasma free radical damage. So that's pretty cool. And then when it comes to radiation, in those undergoing radiation treatment, a significantly lower percentage of patients taking Mareva reported suffering from epithelial damage. That would be mouth sores or damage to the intestinal tract, swallowing difficulties, sore esophagus, diarrhea, nausea, swelling of the legs, fatigue, and weakness, or some kind of use of a need for medication to counteract the effect of radiation damage. And so the one thing that they did not decide on in the study and remains an open question is, did the curcumin help the outcome in terms of the cancer, or did it interfere with the chemotherapy or radiation, as some oncologists suggest, or did it have no impact on the outcome of the cancer but prevented the side effects of the treatment? That's something that the study did not address. But there are many studies that suggest that curcumin can actually not only not interfere with the effects of conventional cancer treatment, but accentuate the benefits, helping to promote something called apoptosis, which is the self-destruction of cancer cells. The problem with cancer cells, they don't die. They're immortal. They just keep reproducing. And curcumin has been shown to accentuate the process of natural cell death that normal cells are capable of. But cancer cells are kind of like vampires or zombies. You can't kill them. And therefore, anything that restores apoptosis may allow these cells to respond better to chemotherapy, radiation, and finally die and leave the body. 888-302-3684 is our number, should you care to call us. We invite your phone calls. We've got lots more to discuss on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system, because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And just note that this is just the tip of the iceberg of the Intelligent Medicine phenomenon, because we've got podcasts, and among our great podcasts this week, we've got a podcast on a subject that I think you'll find kind of unusual. It's on dysautonomia. What's that? Well, dysautonomia is a complete breakdown of the signaling system of your autonomic nervous system, resulting in symptoms of high blood pressure, low blood pressure, uncontrolled palpitations, exhaustion, fatigue, hives, gastrointestinal symptoms. And a surprising number of Americans experience one form or another of dysautonomia. You can actually look at high blood pressure as a form of dysautonomia. And we talked to an expert, and I think you'll find it very illuminating. So check it out at drhoffman.com. Dysautonomiainternational.org is an organization that sponsors research into this perplexing area of medicine, and you or someone you know may be suffering from dysautonomia, so get the 411 on that subject. All right, let's take a call now from Jerry in Long Island. How you doing, Jerry?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question about the use of cannabinoid oils I'm in New York State, and they recently have made it legal for medical use. And
yeah.
So I was wondering the use of cannabinoid oil for MS patients.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's
opinion?
This is really interesting because, look, I mean, there's a lot of controversy about whether marijuana should be legalized. And, you know, I'm not really in favor of that because I think that making marijuana more available to young people probably isn't a good idea. I, you know, I think that maybe, you know, like cigarettes, maybe, you know, it could be, you know, discouraged or allowed for people over 21, as they're doing, I think, in California now. They're raising the age. I think that it's really dangerous for really young kids to be, you know, puffing on reefers and disturbing their brain development at a crucial age when, you know, your whole consciousness is being consolidated. That being said, I think there's some really intriguing elements to the use of marijuana and marijuana products medically. And it used to be thought, well, okay, if you're really sick, if you're in terrible pain, if you've, you know, lost your appetite, if you're on death's door, you know, compassionate use of marijuana makes sense because, hey, you know, get stoned and you might feel better. You know, it's going to relax you, improve your appetite. Maybe your pain will go away. Okay, fine. That is one aspect of marijuana use for very sick individuals. And if it works for you, fine. Okay, great. There's even more to it, though, is that marijuana contains substances that are the non-stoner part of marijuana. They have very little in the way of psychoactive effects that are very promising in terms of their anti-inflammatory effects and immune-regulating effects. And that's why individuals with MS sometimes turn to smoking pot, but you may be able to get the benefits, the anti-inflammatory benefits, the disease-arresting benefits of marijuana by taking CBD oil. Now, they recently legalized marijuana prescribing in New York. There's going to be a few doctors who sign up for it. They have to go through kind of a very complicated vetting process, and then they'll have the ability to write prescriptions for highly regulated and pure extracts of marijuana that I think will have outstanding potential in terms of alleviating medical problems. I look forward to suggesting that some patients try that for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease because there's some good research on that. And that research is going to continue. So I think it really does have a place in medicine and certainly for MS. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684 if you want to join the conversation. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And we got callers. Karen from Manhattan, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you. I'm one of your WOR listeners in New York, but I don't care that the Mets are on because I'm listening to you on the computer.
Good for you. That's the workaround, and a lot of people are getting hip to that fact. And you know,
I always listen to you the first hour, and then the second hour I see whether you're on the radio or not.
Great, but, great. Good for you.
This is about my niece who has fibroids. She had an operation on them a couple of years ago, but now the doctor says they've come back, and she has an appointment with the doctor. But what do you recommend these days for maybe doing something about fibroids?
Fibroids are actually tough in terms of natural treatment. I have to say that, you know, some people kind of blithely promote remedies, you know, take this or that or the other thing to shrink fibroids, but they're sometimes tough to treat with a natural approach. But there are a couple of things that can be helpful. Number one, anything you do to help you lose weight. Because if you're carrying extra weight, that means extra estrogen in your system, and that is like fuel for the fire for fibroids. So, you know, I would recommend, you know, kind of a low-carb diet. You know, excess carbohydrate, calories, and sugar may feed the insulin, which then raises your levels of estrogen, and so that might help to slow their growth. There's some controversy over soy. I see some people recommending, oh, have lots of soy because soy is an estrogen blocker. But soy is also, to some extent, an estrogen promoter. And when I used to recommend the macrobiotic diet, I had some patients who were eating tons and tons of soy, you know, soy powder and soy milk and lots of tofu. And their fibroids just grew like wildfire. So I'm not entirely sure that soy is beneficial for fibroids. A couple of things that can be helpful. There's an herb called chasteberry, which in some studies has been shown to help reduce the levels of high levels of estrogen, the hormones that promote fibroid growth. And you know that hormones do promote it because one of the ways that fibroids can be dealt with is if you can manage to wait until menopause, they generally shrink. You know, right? Without the influence of hormone, if you're like, you know, 48 or something, it doesn't really pay often to get a hysterectomy or myomectomy, because if you wait a couple of years, you go through menopause and the fibroids will shrink anyway. But, you know, if you're 28 and, you know, it's causing you a lot of problems, you can't do a sit-up, sex is painful, could interfere with childbirth, then you have to get in there and do something. You know, whether it's like some kind of surgery or some kind of ablation. Sometimes they use hormone therapy to block the hormones for a while. That doesn't feel too good, but it does help to arrest the growth of the fibroids. Another nutrient that seems to have an impact is lycopene. And you can take lycopene capsules, or you can take fresh tomato paste, which is a very concentrated form of lycopene, which can be helpful for fibroids. We also look at a phenomenon called estrogen dominance, which is when women overproduce estrogen, underproduce progesterone. It's easier sometimes to augment a hormone. If you're low in a hormone, you just take some additional hormone. Like your low thyroid, you take some natural thyroid. But when you produce excessive amounts of estrogen, what do you do to curtail it? Well, there's a couple of things. You can take calcium D-glucarate, which kind of attenuates your estrogen levels by helping the body eliminate it. You can take flaxseed, which contains lignans that seem to be sort of estrogen blockers. You know, you can also, you know, have adequate digestion, because if you have constipation, your estrogen isn't properly eliminated from your body. So by taking probiotics, by taking more dietary fiber or magnesium, you can promote the elimination of the estrogen, which recirculates through your gastrointestinal tract. So there's a protocol. Traditional Chinese medicines, some of them have been shown to be helpful. Sometimes I send patients to TCM experts who do acupuncture and give herbs, because that can sometimes help to slow the progression of fibroids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
those are some
strategies.
I wanted to tell you how long I've been listening to you.
So tell me how long.
Well, if you were, you know, I actually went to your health food store to hear Vicki Hofnagel.
Oh, my goodness. That was quite a long time. And she wrote a book called No More Hysterectomies.
No More Hysterectomies, sure.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, I thought of you originally. But you know how long ago that was? That must be
25 years ago. That's like 25 years ago. Yeah.
Very long time.
For those of you who don't know, I actually had a pioneering health food store in New York called Healthy Pleasures, which had several locations in Manhattan. And it was quite successful before the advent of these huge,
Foods.
Right, the big box stores. We had a little bit of a window of opportunity before Whole Foods finally developed the formula to move into Manhattan. They were, you know, in many other places in the country, but Manhattan's a tough market to crack. And it took, you know, we had a nice grace period before Whole Foods and, you know, Trader Joe's and all these big box stores came into Manhattan, which is great. I love those stores. We were one of the first health food stores that wasn't just about a bunch of guys in tie-dye shirts selling granola and nuts and dried fruit, but we also had a full complement of natural foods, including grass-fed beef and organic poultry. So there's, you know, those were the days. Thanks for being there for us, and thanks for staying with us. And you've adapted to this new environment by listening to us online, and you can probably also access our podcast via your computer. And it's all there, just for the taking. Thanks for joining us. All right, let's talk now to Walter. Hey, Walter's also in Manhattan. Manhattan's really happening for us today.
That's right. You're loud and clear in Manhattan.
Excellent. Thank you. What's your question?
I had a question about chondroitin sulfate A. I always thought that the molecular size, the Dalton number, was quite high in chondroitin. So best to have your liver make it. How do you do that? Well, you take glucosamine sulfate and MSM. What's the story on this now? Has some things changed and it's pharmaceutical grade is the one that is absorbable of chondroitin? Or what is really going on?
Okay, so Walter, you're asking some really important questions because it was a scientific dogma until fairly recently that many compounds that you take that are big molecules, you know, for those without the good science background that you and I have, molecules are strings of atoms, and they're small molecules that are very tiny, that are small enough to be easily absorbed by the body. But big molecules tend to either be digested and broken down to their constituent parts, rendering them less valuable, or they just can't get through the tiny pores in your gastrointestinal tract. That's a sort of an oversimplification of what happens. And it was thought that big molecules, you're right, chondroitin is a big molecule. Glucosamine is a little bit of a smaller molecule, maybe like a building block for, you know, the ultimate substances that form our cartilage and synovial membranes. So it was thought, okay, chondroitin, no way, no how is that going to help. But then it turns out that the body does have mechanisms to absorb these bigger molecules. And, you know, maybe it's through the lacteals, you know, it's sort of a fat-mediated absorption that takes bigger molecules into the systemic circulation. But anyway, studies now show that it gets in. And this meta-analysis that I shared with you earlier, pretty big meta-analysis, shows that products containing chondroitin actually do have a positive impact on osteoarthritis. So, you know, what's preferable? Yeah, you know, you can, MSM is definitely beneficial. It is easily absorbed. It does provide the sulfur compounds that are essential sometimes for repair and have anti-inflammatory effects. Glucosamine, is that worthless now? Should we discard glucosamine because chondroitin seems to be well-validated? Well, probably not. I think we should hedge our bets using products that contain glucosamine plus chondroitin, and the product that I use also contains something called ASU, which is avocado soy unsaponifiable, which is a mouthful. That's why we call it ASU. That triple play of glucosamine, chondroitin with ASU seems to be the most effective in trials for arthritis. And, you know, as I say, sometimes the recommended dose, which is one capsule three times a day, isn't enough, especially for larger individuals or people with bad arthritis. And we recommend that people take more, maybe two capsules three times a day, at least for a while until the arthritis responds. Does that help you out, Walter?
Very thorough response, Doctor. Wonderful.
Thank you.
I guess you should also supply for taking glutathione. Hey, what about this tripeptide? Can we get in, or do we have to take cysteine directly?
Good question. Good question. So that this is also, you know, we're getting a little into molecular biochemistry. So What glutathione is the glutathione is the body's main antioxidant. It's really our bulwark against free radicals, and we synthesize it. We make it. It's what's called a tripeptide. It's made of glycine, glutamine, and cysteine, three amino acids. And so the thought is that if you want to boost your glutathione, don't take glutathione. Take the precursors. Take glycine or glutamine or cysteine, or better yet, N-acetylcysteine, which is a great precursor to glutathione synthesis by the body. The body has to make it itself. Some new studies suggest that you can absorb glutathione, particularly if it's lipospheric, if it's encapsulated in nanoparticles, which then evade digestion and can be absorbed through the body's fat absorption mechanism, which bypasses the really tiny pores. That's controversial. I'm not entirely sure that glutathione is that well absorbed orally. When I have patients where we want to boost glutathione, we'll give a little bit of lipospheric glutathione, but we'll also use N-acetylcysteine. And if they really need it, we'll give it to them intravenously. And that really pours glutathione right past any barrier towards absorption, gets it to where it's needed in the brain and the liver. And it can be even more beneficial that way. So thanks for your listenership. You're obviously a well-informed intelligent medicine aficionado, because you bring a lot of science to the fore in your understanding of this. Thanks for your call, Walter. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, you don't have time to be sick, yet our busy lifestyles can leave us vulnerable. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you know that in Japanese, Kayo means strength? This winter, find your immune strength with four key natural immune-boosting supplements from our friends at Kyolic. It's what I call the Kyolic Advantage, and what I use myself. Try Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract 103 for natural immune wellness and cardiovascular health. Since 70% of your immune system is in the digestive tract, Kyodophilus bolsters immunity and gut health with shelf-stable beneficial bacteria. On the go, try Kyo Green, a convenient powdered greens drink mix that offers a natural source of key vitamins and minerals. And don't forget ModuCare, a unique combination of plant sterols proven effective at balancing and strengthening immunity. So eat right, exercise, and get the Kyolic Advantage to optimize your immune health today. Available at fine health food stores everywhere.
If you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news about a new effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease of 10% or more in systolic and diastolic blood pressure. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And let's talk lead, because recently lead was in the headlines because of the tragedy that's taking place in Flint, Michigan. I say tragedy because it's not just an episode of, you know, a little exposure to lead and, you know, it's over. They're going to fix it eventually. But once lead gets into your system, it's extremely tenacious. It's very hard to get out. And it can definitely mess with neurological development in kids. Pregnant moms who ingest lead, not good for the baby. Young kids who ingest lead can have permanent intellectual deficits and behavioral problems, ADD, juvenile delinquency, aggressive behaviors have been linked to high levels of lead. What's a good level of lead in the water? Zero. And very few communities across the United States achieve that. And so if you think Flint, Michigan is just an isolated episode, you think, well, okay, it can't happen here. This headline from New Jersey paper: why 11 New Jersey cities have more lead-affected kids than Flint, Michigan. 11 cities in New Jersey and two counties have a higher proportion of young children with dangerous lead levels than Flint, Michigan does. In New Jersey, Children 6 years of age and younger have continued to ingest lead from painted windows, doors, and other woodwork found in older homes, particularly in older, poorer cities. The communities with the high lead levels include Irvington, East Orange, Trenton, Newark, Patterson, Plainfield, Jersey City, Elizabeth, Atlantic City, New Brunswick, and Passaic, along with Salem and Cumberland counties. You can breathe it from the dust. You can also drink it in the water. And recently there was some school district in school, some one school in New Jersey, with headlines that they had to shut down their water fountains. You know, every time, you know, when I was a kid, I used to drink from the water fountain. I used to dread it that I had to drink from the water fountain because the water would taste funky. And you would say, ugh, I'm really thirsty, but yeah, I'm taking my life in my hands. Well, you probably are, because in some cases the water is laced with lead because of ancient pipes. And so they just had to completely shut down the water fountain system. And they'll probably have to tear it out because of high lead levels that monitors discovered. So here's yet another consequence of lead exposure. And I'm really very, very concerned with lead exposure because I test adults for lead levels, and many of our adults come back with higher than acceptable levels. What, you know, an acceptable level is zero, but sometimes dramatically high. And we have long in the integrative community done something called chelation therapy, either with oral medication or sometimes with intravenous EDTA, so-called chelation therapy. And chelation attempts to get the lead, the mercury, the cadmium out of your system. And this is a new perspective on yet another problem associated with lead. Yeah, we know it affects the brain. I read an article that appears in our newsletter this week, 8 Reasons Why It's Not Your Fault, You're Fat. 8 reasons why it's not your fault, you're fat. Well, one of the reasons is environmental pollution. It turns out that there are what are called obesogens, chemicals in the air, in the water, in food, that lead to overweight. And lead is actually an obesogen. Headline from University of Michigan, lead exposure changes gut microbiota, increases chance for obesity. Exposure to lead during early development can alter the gut microbiota, which are the bacteria that inhabit your gastrointestinal tract. Why not? Since lead is a poison, it can probably change the balance of bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract. It says early life exposure to lead causes a long-lasting impact on the gut microbiome, and the change of gut microbiome may partially contribute to the increased body weight in adult life. So these kids, especially in disadvantaged communities, are triple damned because the quality of food is poor, the awareness is poor about good diet, opportunities for exercise are sometimes curtailed because of simple safety issues. You know, there's too much traffic, there's too much violence, and so kids just stay at home and hide. And then they're loaded with lead. Lead was added to the drinking water of female mice prior to breeding through nursing their young. Okay, so it was the mothers that were exposed to the lead. It was found that the lead levels in the mouse mothers was carefully designed to be within human population exposure levels. So they didn't dose them, you know, triple, quadruple, 50 times what people get. You know, you can always stack the deck with studies like that. But what they found was that the offspring of these lead-exposed mother mice were fatter, and the composition of their gastrointestinal tracts was altered unfavorably to promote the type of metabolism that leads to weight gain. So that ain't good for sure. All right, this item, and again, we're studying mice, but this has profound implications for humans. Lipid-based diets effectively combat Alzheimer's disease in mice. All right, this is actually a popular notion, is that we can give sort of like a nutritional drink to people with Alzheimer's disease. They already have several that are along these lines. One is called Fortisin. And Fortisin is a fish oil-based diet, is a fish oil-based supplement containing lots of DHA, more DHA than EPA, phosphatidylcholine, phospholipids, that would be NT factor that we talk about here on Intelligent Medicine, an amino acid called uridine, which is a building block for RNA that helps make protein, selenium, some B vitamins, and other stuff. But the business end of this is the DHA from fish oil, along with some phosphatidylcholine, phospholipids. What they found was that these lipid-based diets can slow the progression of plaque accumulation in the brains in these mice. And this is very exciting because we're on our way towards science-based nutritional interventions that can slow or potentially reverse Alzheimer's disease in humans. The experimental diets containing this fish oil concoction reversed the changes in the hippocampus, which is the memory center of the brains of these mice. Only the fish oil-based diet enriched with these certain nutrients that I just mentioned supported neuroprotection. So we're not yet there, but we have proof of principle that regular intake of certain nutrients may help to prevent some of the changes that take place in the Alzheimer's brain. So very exciting stuff. We're going to follow this story this year. We're going to be interviewing many of the players who are doing Alzheimer's research based on neuroprotection. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Remember that this program is just the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. Visit our website, shop there, listen to podcasts, and subscribe to our newsletter.